And I know as I say the Gospel of John, it may make you think of the ministry of Christ as we have been looking at for so long now, but we're not getting into that tonight. We'll probably just finish those things on Sunday morning as the Lord allows us to, and if He wants a Sunday night mixed in there, He will. But we want to read here tonight John chapter 3. Verse number 30. Oh, the other thing to remember is the business to be conducted after we get done here with the preaching service. I pray the Lord would bless in that also in the conducting of business. All right, John chapter 3. Just want to read here verses 29 through 31. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, or this my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. The text for our time together tonight will be verse number 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Words which you know are spoken by John the Baptist. The height of John the Baptist's ministry, of course, he had gained many that had followed his teachings, many that he had baptized. He, in some respects, if you want to use the word successful, was successful in his ministry as the Lord blessed him greatly, preparing the way of the Lord. And John, if he had desired to, could have parlayed that into, position, or could have parlayed that into many other things. But John the Baptist, as Christ came upon the scene, took the other road, as is evidenced here by verse number 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Decreasing is not something that is easy on our flesh. It's not something that is easy on our pride, upon who we are. It's not something that is easy for us to accomplish in this life with regularity. Because as soon as we kind of stop focusing on the fact that I need to decrease so that Christ can be seen more and more, as soon as we quit focusing on that, we find ourselves increasing and beginning to overshadow, if you will, the works of the Lord in our life. And that certainly is not something we want to do. So tonight's message will be more of a maintenance style message. You know, there's different kinds of messages and different purposes for preaching those kinds of messages, of course. In the message tonight, you're not going to learn anything really new. It's not going to be something doctrinal in the sense that you're going to go deeper in those kind of things. But sometimes we need to preach just to maintain. We need to study, or we need the Word of God to wash over us just so that we stay on top of the things that we need to stay on top of in this life and serving the Lord and making sure that we are what we should be for Him. Back in 2013, Oxford added a new word to their online dictionary. And they added this word that describes an action that at the time over 50% or around 50% of adults in this country had participated in. And the reason why they chose this as the word of the year for 2013, and the reason why they added it at least at that time to their online dictionary, maybe now in the regular dictionary also, is because compared to prior years in the English language, this word's use had risen by 17,000%. It had really skyrocketed up. It had really taken over lots of different things. So they endowed it with the, you know, word of the year status and added it to that dictionary. The word that we have in question tonight, I'm sure you're on the edge of your seats wanting to know what that word is. The word is selfie. Selfie, right? So, for those of you who don't know what that is, a selfie is basically when you take a picture of yourself. Usually with a digital device, your phone, something else, it sort of looks like this when people are going like this, you know? Kind of like that. They take out their phone and they're taking a picture of themselves. The action that that word came to represent in our society, of course, is that very thing, taking a picture of yourself, usually for the purpose of sharing it on some social media site or sending it via text or email or whatever the case may be, so that you could show others what you're doing and where you're at and all of those kinds of things. In fact, this action has become so pervasive in our society that now anywhere you go, even down to Menards, we were at Menards this week, and for some reason they sell selfie sticks. All right, so now whole industries have been created around this word and around this action so that you don't have to just extend your arm and kind of look somewhat foolish, you know, when you do that in front of everybody. But now you guys can pull a stick out, attach your phone to the stick, and, you know, put it way up in the air and get a nice wide angle view or whatever of yourself and that kind of thing, and snap a good picture. It's so pervasive in society that there are contests all the time held, you know, by who has the best one or who can take the best one. If you do any kind of internet searching, you'll find many, many, many tips on how to take good pictures of yourself in different situations and circumstances. You know, they hold the phone up like that because it's supposed to make you look better. I don't know if that's true or not. Every time I try it, I sort of look creepy, but, you know, that's just me. I'm not very talented at it. You can tell I'm really concentrating trying to get it done. But a whole industry has taken off because of this fascination that we now have with taking a picture of ourselves. And probably a lot of you tonight have done that. I'm not saying that that is something we, you know, shouldn't do or that's a great sin or anything, but we'll get to why it's important in just a minute. But another shocking statistic is that there is a number of people, a statistically relevant number of people every year that actually die while trying to take the perfect selfie picture. It's become so important. In fact, over the last couple of years, it has outpaced people that die from shark attacks, you know, and that kind of thing. And there's whole pages on the internet that actually track all the numbers of people that have been reported having been killed because they were taking a picture and fell off a boat and drowned or stepped in front of a train or whatever the case may be, which is really sad. But all of that put together, when we think about it, shows us what kind of world we live in. We live in a selfie world. We live in a world that revolves around me, revolves around the fact that I'm important, revolves around self-importance to the point where we are engrossed in our society with self. And I think only in America could we be so, you know, self-important that these words have been added to dictionaries and whole industries have been started and all that kind of thing just to put us in the center of attention. And so it really does make us aware of the society we live in being totally engrossed with self. It's really, though, nothing new, because for many years, kings and presidents and the wealthy and the rich, they were sitting for self-portraits, weren't they? They'd hang up in their houses and all that kind of thing, you know, and making themselves the center of attention. That has been going on for years, but now it's so easy. It is much easier. You don't have to hire somebody to come into your house and sit for a portrait for hours. All you got to do, as we demonstrated a minute ago, is pull out your phone. And even at today's phones, you don't even have to turn the phone around and mess with it on the other side. They got cameras on both sides of the phone because people were doing that, you know, dropping their phone and all that kind of thing. And so it's not a new phenomenon, because we've always been, and humanity has always been, engrossed in self. But in 2016, we find it is easier, it is more encouraged, and it is a much bigger problem in that sense throughout all of our country. And it has, over the course of time, crept into the church, crept into our lives as God's people, where we find it very easy to make ourselves the center of attention. And we pull out this example of a selfie. And the title of the message tonight, if you want to put one to it, is Selfless Living in a Selfless or a Selfie World. Selfless Living in a Selfie World. And that's what we need to be focused on, is selfless living. And so, like we said, this is a kind of some thoughts that will help us maintain this idea, maintain this purpose of being selfless today, because you don't see it in really too many people around you. People are engrossed with themselves, engrossed with making themselves the center of attention, and really the taking a picture of yourself, again, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that until it becomes a problem, until it becomes indicative of something worse. The fact that you want to make yourself the center of everything. And it's easy with a picture because you're the only one in it. You know, you are the center of everything at that moment, for that time, for people to see, for everyone to look at and to say, look at me, how pretty I am. Look at me and how exciting my life is. Look at me in these different things that I'm doing and places I'm going and all of those kinds of things. Now, along with all the rest of technology, you can use it well and you can use it right. But this is the society we live in. This is pervasive and it needs to be guarded against that we might be able to live a selfless life in a selfless world, because our flesh craves attention. It craves the attention of man. It craves the attention of others. The problem with this is that that's not how we're supposed to be. And with the society we're living in, we're training ourselves to be that way. We're training ourselves so that Or we're training ourselves to make everything about us. Instead of thinking about others first. Instead of thinking about, well, how does that situation or this influence or affect someone else? We think it is all about us because of the society we live in. We're training ourselves that way. Most of the time when things go wrong in our life, when situations come up, when circumstances are faced, the very first thing we do is think about, how does this affect me? You know, and we make it about us. We make, you know, any kind of thing that happens on a national scale, politics, we make it about us. Anything that happens in church or anything that happens in our families with others, we make it about us. Because that's how we are training ourselves to be in this society, because that's how society is. And so it takes some retraining. It takes some real dedication. And we need to challenge ourselves to reverse that kind of thinking. Not to make everything about us, but to make the things that we do, the things we experience, the things that go on in our life about others instead of about ourselves. Because not only is it a problem for us and we are training ourselves that way, what bothers me more is that we're training our kids to be that way. And what seems like a harmless thing of taking a picture of oneself and sharing it with others, I mean, that's relatively harmless in its place, becomes a much bigger problem when it is compounded with the complexities of the flesh and the nature that we have that desires to be at the center of everything. And then all of a sudden for our kids, it is much harder for them to think about someone else. Much harder for them to think about how they, are affected instead, or how others are affected instead of how they're affected. Much harder for them to be selfless in a selfie world if we're not very careful at how we train them to be. We need to be careful at that. Because all of the opportunities today, all of the things that are out there today, give us the opportunity to make us and make ourselves, allow our kids to make themselves the center of attention. What you have to ask yourself when you think about this is to use an old phrase, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? You know, and I came up with, or had this thought. The question is, you know, if, and again, just using this one illustration of the selfie to talk about how we are as a people, and you could use many other different things to talk about selfishness and self and all that. But the question is, if Jesus Christ had a smartphone, would he stop along the way during his ministry, stop and reach up his arm and snap a picture, you know, and put himself in the center of that picture and then send it out or text it to people or put it on a website, whatever you do with it, would he be self-aggrandizing? Would he be self-promoting? Would he be putting himself out there in such a way to make himself the center of attention in everything? You know, would he be behaving in that kind of manner? I think the answer to that, of course, is kind of obvious. I don't believe Jesus Christ would participate in those kinds of actions when they are, of course, detrimental or sinful and lifting up our pride. When you think about Jesus Christ, this idea of living in a selfie world, it goes contrary to everything that Jesus Christ was about. Everything Jesus Christ was about. Look at Philippians chapter 2. When we think about Jesus Christ, his life. We think about him coming from the glories of heaven to this earth. We know that Jesus Christ, no matter what portion of time you want to consider, from when time began for man till when time ends for man, Jesus Christ at every moment along the way has deserved all the glory, all the praise, all the honor, every moment of every day that has passed. He deserves all of that. But as we read here in Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 6, well, read verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Now what is said of Jesus Christ here is that he made himself of no reputation. He willingly gave up any kind of notoriety, any kind of glory, any kind of being in the spotlight when he came to this earth and took on human form. I mean, as we consider his circumstances when he came to this earth, he could have came in the spotlight. He could have came in the spotlight for all to see and all of that kind of thing, but Jesus Christ didn't do that. He didn't put himself, he didn't put his humanity in the center of the spotlight for everybody to see, did he? But no, he made himself of no reputation. He made himself instead of as a servant in the background. And so that's why we say that if Jesus Christ had a smartphone, it's doubtful that he would have been snapping pictures of himself and building a reputation and putting himself in front of everybody. Now again, you can use it wisely, you can use it right. But the point here is that Jesus Christ deserved all the glory, honor, and praise every moment of every day of every year that has passed, and yet he came and made himself of no reputation. What does that mean that we should do? Should we strive to be the one that is the most popular? Should we strive to be at the center of everything in this world? Should we strive to be the one that is known by everybody, that is liked by everybody, that is everybody's friend? Should we strive to be, have that kind of celebrity and fame? I don't believe we should. Because as we put ourselves in that position, and as we get to that place, we have to make sacrifices along the way. We have to allow things to slip, if you will. We have to make compromises and choices that a lot of times are not glorifying to the Lord. And here, he himself, the King of the universe, made himself of no reputation. We need to follow his lead. And we need to spend our lives making ourselves of no reputation. That's part of selfless living in a selfie world. Make ourselves of no reputation. Not making everything about ourselves so that everyone knows everything about us all the time. But as we continue further to think about the ministry of Jesus Christ, look at Matthew chapter 8. Not only did he come and was of no reputation among men, but we also know and understand that while he was here upon this earth for 30 years, 3 decades, right? I mean, that's a pretty good amount of time. Now, some of you that are, more experienced, think 30 years is nothing. You've been through it a couple times over already. But 30 years is a good space of time, right? For 30 years in the life of Jesus Christ, he dwelt in obscurity. Hardly anybody knew who he was. Hardly anybody understood that he even existed. And those that did know him, it is evident by our study of his life, those that did know him only knew him as the carpenter's son. They knew him as a hard worker. They knew him as one that contributed to society, that helped his dad, that was a good son, one that was gainfully employed, one that had skill in a trade. They knew him in those ways, but that was it. He dwelt in obscurity, even to the point as he entered the ministry, we see here in verse number 20, that he had no place to lay his head, no real possessions of life. Verse 20, "And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Jesus Christ tells the disciple that was giving him a little bit of an excuse. He said, I've got nothing. Been on this earth for 30 years, dwelling in obscurity. I've worked hard, I've done these things, but yet I have nothing. Do you see how that Jesus Christ, even when he was here in the flesh, was not making himself the center of the picture at all times? I mean, it wasn't until he stepped out of the shadows and was baptized by John that anybody really began to take notice of who he was in his ministry. Who he was in his ministry. He dwelled in obscurity. Again, that's something that we should emulate and mimic. Now, does that mean we should never talk to anybody about Christ? Does that mean we shouldn't be an example before the world? Of course not. But it means that we don't have to have the fame and the millions. We don't have to have the notoriety to make a difference and have an impact and to be godly in this life. Our flesh tells us otherwise. Our flesh tells us that we've got to have those things. Our flesh tells us that we have to be at the center of everything in this world that we live in today, or else we're not going to be able to have any kind of influence on anybody or get anything done. But Jesus deserved all the attention. And yet he lived in obscurity for 30 years and didn't have any possessions when his ministry started. Compare that with how most Christians, including us here tonight, are living in this world that we are in today. And then while we think about Jesus as well, turn over to Matthew 16. While Jesus deserved fame because of who he was and even because of the message he had to preach, logically you would think the more people that knew about him, the more people that heard of his miracles, the more people that were exposed to the fact that Jesus Christ was conducting this ministry would be a good thing. The more that knew, the better. But yet there were several times, and we mentioned this as we came through this study, there were several times during his ministry where he challenged his disciples not to tell anyone who he was. Not to publish where they were going. Not to talk up his miracles. There was one time in particular, and I don't have the reference down. It seems as if maybe it was the demoniac of Gadara, but I could be wrong about that. He healed. He healed a man. And then he charged that man. He said, now don't tell anyone what I've done unto you. Don't tell anybody. Don't go and publish it. And we see that man going and doing exactly what Christ told him not to do. But time and again, Jesus Christ says, like he does here in Matthew 16 and verse 20, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Again, we see Jesus Christ remaining in the backdrop, so to speak, not desiring to be right at the center of attention of everything. And the reason for that was he did not desire vain attention. And there were times in his ministry where the number swelled greatly. And for the majority of those times, as the number swelled greatly, it was a vain attention, meaning it was empty. They were just there to see a spectacle. They were just there because it's what was going on in town. They were just there to see what he'd do next. Christ didn't want that kind of attention. He said, that's not for me. And so he told them, don't tell them these things. Not because he wasn't going to save or he didn't want to preach the gospel, but because that vain attention was unwanted. And so we need to consider that in our lives today, both as individuals and as churches. We shouldn't desire that vain attention. That vain attention we might get because, keeping in line with the thought we're using tonight, because a picture looks good and causes people to say, I'd like to be like them. You know, it's not because they see Christ in us. It's not because we are doing something for the Lord or because we're leading some kind of example or testimony. It may just be a skill or a place or whatever that looks good at the time. Vain attention is not a good thing. That's why in the Lord's work, numbers do not always equal the Lord's blessing. And that's why we're not after the big crowd. We're not after vain attention or for people just to come to see what's going on or to be entertained and the like. When we work in that way, Matthew chapter 6 verse 2, Christ says that we have our reward already. The things that we do ought to be for Christ and not for men. Keep that in mind. We don't work for the Lord in this life that we might be rewarded by men to gain notoriety, to be at the center of attention. We don't do it for that reason. And if we gain that by it, the Bible says we've already got our reward. We need to be working selflessly in this life. And again, it's hard because we live in a selfie world. We live in a world where literally people are dying because they're addicted to taking pictures of themselves. I mean, that just tells you about the problem with the nature of man. And lest anyone think they're exempt here tonight, remember that that same nature still dwells within us. We still have that flesh. And so it has to be pushed down. It has to be fought against, or else we will be tempted to fall for the same problems or the same difficulties in life that the other people are falling for. We need to constantly work on that because it is a challenge. We need to challenge ourselves not to be obsessed with ourselves or putting ourselves at the center of attention. We'll end tonight with five things that we've just identified quickly. These aren't new. Just want you to be reminded. Maintain. Just like you got to change your oil in your car and rotate your tires just to keep it running. Just to keep ourselves running godly in a selfie world, we have got to apply these things to be living in a selfless manner. First of all, very obviously, focus on Christ and not on self. Focus on Christ, not on self. Now, your problem may not be with taking pictures of yourself, you know, and trying to make yourself of reputation and seem important. But it's something. There is something in your life. There is some kind of attention that you crave. There is something in your life that causes you a problem in this way. I guarantee it, because we're human. Don't focus on self, focus on Christ. Always. Focus on Christ. Instead of making everything about us, make everything about Jesus Christ. When you're tempted to get mad because things didn't go your way at work, you know, really, in some ways, and you might be justified in being mad, I don't know. But in some ways, what you're doing is saying, I am the important one here. I have been wrong, therefore everything is about me. When instead we should be making it about Christ. Okay, this has happened. How can I glorify God with it? How can I show Christ to others through it? How can I work this to the advantage that I will be able to witness to someone or to glorify Christ in this situation? Focus everything upon Christ and not upon ourselves. Make sure that we are keeping that focus all the time. If a good example might be, and this is going to fall into another, I'll just save it for a minute. Number two, not only should we focus on Christ and not on self, but second, we need to derive our self-worth from Christ and not from man. Look over to Colossians chapter 3. Derive your self-worth from God, from Christ, and not from man. In other words, sometimes you have a craving within yourself to be valued, to be thought good of, to be lifted up by someone else. And so you do certain things. Maybe it is taking a picture. Maybe, you know, it's any number of other things that you could consider in this life where you make yourself the center of attention so that you can feel good. Instead of deriving your self-worth from actions like that, because they'll always fail us. It'll fade away. It'll be like a drug. It helps you for a minute and then it goes away. Derive your self-worth from Christ. Turning to Him. Focusing on Him. Serving Him. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 23. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Remember, keep Christ to focus, and derive your self-worth from Christ and not from men, because we're not serving them. Oh, our actions might be towards them, but the service is to the Lord. My actions might be towards my wife, to help her, to my kids, you know, to my church, whatever. But it's really to the Lord, and keep that focus. Because if you have that focus, you cannot make yourself the center of attention. It just won't happen unless you turn back and go the other way. So derive your self-worth from Christ. Derive it from Christ and not from man. You know, it bothers us when other people seem to be having all the fun or going all the places or getting all of the attention. That bothers us. You know, it really does. And we need to get to the place where we are okay with that. Where we see other people getting all the attention, notoriety, praise of the world, of man, of friends, of family, of acquaintances, all those things, and it doesn't bother us because we know that what really matters is our relationship with Christ. And that way our self-worth comes from Him. It doesn't come from man, from all those other things that we have to chase. And so we need to really consider our lives and how we use the things at our disposal. Are they being used for the glory of the Lord, or are they being used to make ourselves the center of attention or the focus, or to make our own psyche feel good about ourselves, that kind of thing? And that's, as we said, not new, but what we need to be focused on, making sure it doesn't happen. Then third, call this turn the tables. There is no doubt in my mind that within the next week, probably within the next day, you're going to be put in a situation where you feel the need to make yourself of the most importance, or put yourself at the center of attention. You're going to have that urge. What I want you to do is turn the tables. In other words, I want you to take that urge and that feeling and turn it into an opportunity to do something for someone else, whatever it is. Instead of when something happens saying, well, I want this or I want that or I'm important because of this, step back and keep yourself from saying that or acting in that manner, and then turn that around and do something for someone else. Don't just think about doing it. Don't just purpose to do it, but do it, whatever it is. Send a card, make a phone call, send a text, help someone in some way, pray for somebody that you know needs it. Focus on someone else for the glory of the Lord instead of on self, as Philippians 2 verses 1 through 4 talk to us about. We've read those verses many times. How they speak to us about how others need to be esteemed higher than ourselves. We need to have those compassions, those bowels of mercy. And that really does work opposite to the selfie world that we live in, because that's not the attitude of the world. Fourth, always deflect the praise and always accept the responsibility for your own actions. Always, always, always. Do this in your own life. Teach your kids this. If you do something well and it gets noticed, deflect the praise. In other words, don't let it feed the ego or the pride or the self-importance. Could be your husband or wife notice you did something well. They thank you for it. They praise you for it. They tell you you've done well. And they should do that. But how do you handle that? Handle it by deflecting that praise and remembering it was only by the grace of God that you had the strength and the ability and the desire to do that in the first place. Deflect that praise. Say, praise the Lord that I was able to do that. It's all because of Him. You get praise at work, do the same. At school, whatever it may be. And then the other way around as well, accept responsibility for your own actions when things are less than perfect. In other words, when you're confronted by that boss or by that spouse or by the parent because you've done something wrong, part of our selfie world and culture that we live in is to try to explain away why things aren't our fault. Battle this all the time in our kids. All the time. You ask them, why did you do that? Why did you not do this? Why did you not follow the instruction? And almost every time the answer you get begins with, well, but this happened. Or well, someone, you know, did this and all these other things. And I'm like, that's not what I'm interested in. Don't tell me that. I want you to tell me why you did or didn't do that thing. We are very good at making excuses, making ourselves feel important by passing responsibility off on someone else. We need to be careful with that. It leads to the selfie living that the world does. And then fifthly, turn over to Psalm chapter 8. Like we said, you guys know all of these things. Nothing new here tonight. But in order to successfully live a selfless life in a selfie world, we must maintain, we must get these things into practice in our life. Or else we'll be swept away with the tide. We'll be taken away with the self-importance that the world portrays to us all of the time. The fifth and last one is to have a proper perspective. And I believe Psalm 8, chapter 8 and verse number 3 says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" We need to have a proper perspective about who we really are. You know, to think about the selfie culture, they have a wrong perspective about themselves. They think themselves as much. Romans tells us that when we do that, you know, it's wrong. Romans 12:3 says we ought not to think more highly of ourselves than we should. We need to be careful. We need to have a proper perspective. While we are important to God, and He no doubt loves us, we need to keep in mind that in the large picture of this world and God's plan, we're really insignificant. I mean, really, I am. We all are. He can do His work without me, as well as with me. Doesn't make any difference in the grand scheme of things when you zoom out to the larger level, which is what Psalms 8 does here. Keep that proper perspective. And realize I don't deserve to be the center of attention in anything. And remember that what we do in this life, we do for the honor and glory of the Lord. We need to consider these things. So in the end, when we think about it, our selfie society glorifies man in the flesh. And instead of living a selfie lifestyle, we need to live a godly lifestyle. We need to, instead of putting ourselves in the center of the picture of the things in life and the center of importance, we need to put the Lord Jesus Christ in that place always. And so perhaps maybe a good way to end is to think, you know, if you're about to take a selfie this week, right or wrong, I'm not telling you it's wrong to do that, of course, but when you go to do it, instead of taking that picture and sending it to someone or posting it somewhere, take that moment. Take that moment and read a scripture. Take that moment, send a text to somebody to encourage them in their faith. Take that moment to witness to somebody instead about Christ. And that's just a small thing. And again, you may not be into that practice. So identify something else. Identify something else. But we do realize that we live in a world where self-importance is, the greatest thing, you know, that's going right now. And who knows what's next? You know, it's been this word or this action and these kind of things for a while now. Who knows what's next? There's no end to the depravity of man as we know. And so we need to consider that tonight. So we pray that these thoughts will really turn in your minds and hearts to get you to identify those ways in your life that maybe you have fallen victim to these things before, because none of us are immune. And praise the Lord that He has brought them back to our minds and attention here tonight. We'll conclude our services there.